You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
The Forum on China-Africa Cooperation Summit is currently taking place in Beijing. The event started early this week and will run through until the 8th of September. There are various countries from the African continent in Beijing at the moment to try and get investment commitments out of the Chinese business community. And just today at the event, the president of China, President Xi Jinping, announced that there would be a $50 billion commitment from China to African countries over the next 3 years. I'm joined on the line by Jeremy Stevens, economist at the Standard Bank Group, to take a look at this and other developments taking place at the summit. Good evening, Jeremy. Thanks so much for taking the time. A $50 billion commitment is certainly a significant commitment. What do you make of just everything that's been happening? Give us a sense of what the mood is like at the summit and all of the happenings that are going on at the moment.
Well, it's been very, very, very busy. I can tell you that. We've been working with our contacts at ICBC and hosting significant parallel meetings with all of our key clients. Yesterday, we had Cyril Ramaphosa and about 100 South African businesses having an SAS-China summit. And then, like you've said already, today is the sort of big meeting between the presidents. That's today, and then tomorrow is going to be a business summit. So very, very busy agenda, action-packed leadership from all over Africa is here. All the streets are being blocked off. You can barely get anywhere without sort of bumper-to-bumper to traffic. So it's pretty crazy. African flags flying all over Beijing at the moment, and thousands of businessmen have congregated to the east side of Beijing, where we're having significant parallel discussions as well. So a lot going on, a lot to digest, and we as a bank are obviously keenly engaged in what's going on in this probably Africa's most consequential commercial partnership, but it's obviously also undertaking its own, China's going through its own internal adjustment, which is obviously affecting the way that it connects to the rest of the world. So navigating that new era is certainly something that we're watching very closely.
Jeremy, what is on the agenda for the summit this year? I mean, we've got a sense of the commitments that have been made. We've got an idea of what's happening. But what are the talking points that are on the agenda? African countries, I imagine, are bringing forward needs or assistance that they are looking for. And China's expressed an interest in renewable energies. What is on the agenda?
So there's a lot, right? China's trying to sort of push a more mature engagement with the African side. And the African side are also trying to basically push for industrialization, push for China's support in terms of modernization, keep infrastructure on the agenda, help with partnership from China, sort of help sort of get more market access for China, for African exports to China. We're seeing a big sort of push from the African side to try and attract inward investment from Chinese corporates to help modernize and industrialize. There's a lot of conversations around how Chinese companies can sort of set capacity in Africa to then sell into the intra-Africa free trade zone. There's conversations around agro-processing. It really does cover the whole ambit of commercial ties, and it reflects a maturing of relationships. So since sort of basically 2015, China's been moving away from checkbook diplomacy and big sort of concessional lending into Africa for our infrastructure. And more the pledges are sort of aligning to supporting trade and trying to encourage and incentivize Chinese private businesses to set up capacity in Africa.
Jeremy, one of the big things that's been a talking point within the Chinese picture has always been, or has recently been, that the Chinese economy might not be doing so well, the Chinese consumers might not be doing so well, global expectations have kind of softened around Chinese output, and so it's dampened kind of global outlooks in general. What is the actual mood on the ground in Beijing? Is it the same? Are Chinese businesses and Chinese private investors feeling the same way, or are they ready to commit?
I've been basically telling the same story for the past decade to our clients offshore, which is essentially that Chinese economy is going to continue to slow down. In 2013, Xi Jinping basically made the case that the economy is no longer going to grow as fast as it was, and they're pivoting away from investment-led growth and easy credit and trying to sort of encourage a consumption-oriented economy. In 2015, there was a big sort of boom bust in the stock market. The economy was going through sort of years of deflation. They burned through about $1 trillion of FX reserves because of a currency devalue. And then they got serious and de-risked in the financial sector and sort of clamping down on the what they called the disorderly expansion of capital. 2017, then Xi Jinping was signaling, look, we're calling it the new era. And that was when it sort of creeped into the conversation with housing, of living in, not for speculation. And now in 2023, we see this new productive forces, which is really essentially them trying to move up the value chain, support advanced manufacturing, upgrade traditional manufacturing, and push very hard in the renewable energy space. So the Chinese economy is going through a substantial adjustment, which is fundamentally affecting the way that it connects to the rest of the world. And we all need to come to terms with this reality. Now, if you ask me on the ground, it's important because obviously all of your listeners are going to be thinking about what's happening to the Chinese consumer. And the truth is, a lot of the interventions that we're seeing in the to support consumption, whether it's subsidizing certain purchases of EVs or whatever it may be, the reality is that all it's basically doing is cannibalizing consumption from elsewhere, because fundamentally the fact of the matter is sentiment is very, very low. It's collapsed and it's remained low. Income growth in China is barely keeping pace with nominal GDP growth. Fewer sectors are actually creating jobs. Property prices, where the vast majority of people's wealth sits, have been falling for the past 3 years. And so households are on less confidence about their future and opting to save a greater proportion of their income. And this has been a steadfast trend since 2021. And it's weaker than we thought it was going to be, but we knew it was going to be weak. And policymakers, as I've said, this is not a part of the economy that they've traditionally been very effective at stimulating. They're much more accustomed to supporting investment-led growth. It's part of the reason why they've pushed so aggressively in the renewable energy space, because that is something that is more in their wheelhouse. But the truth of the matter is the Chinese economy is struggling, and I'm not that confident that anytime soon there's going to be a sort of change in what we're seeing, which is momentum loss, because a lot of the tools and mechanisms that they are putting in place to support the economy from the new productive forces side are going to take multiple years before they start to filter through to people's expectations and real life experience, and encourage them to sort of change their expectations. So, for example, if you're a university graduate and you've just graduated from university in China, your outlook for your future income prospects have been downgraded dramatically. Tsinghua University did a survey where they asked university graduates a year ago, how much money do you think you'll make within 4 years? And the average was about 1 million RMB per year, which is way, way out of kilter with the reality. The reality is people make about 8,000 RMB a month. So that adjustment is something that we're going to see affect people's behavior for multiple years. And only if China becomes the greenest economy in the world and they hit all their targets years before and they've got the most sort of sophisticated energy infrastructure and engineering jobs and their grids is the most sophisticated in the world, then maybe it will start creating the jobs that are needed to reinstall confidence in the direction of the country. But right now, we're kind of in the middle of this transition phase where a lot of private businesses and a lot of consumers are more concerned than they've ever been before.
Certainly some interesting developments from that perspective. Jeremy, before I let you go, the other topic of discussion that's been tabled for this particular summit is a look at, from an African perspective at least, investing in local currency ecosystems. Have you heard any rumblings or any mentions around the BRICS payment systems and what the Chinese government wants to do around that?
Yeah, so that's a sort of key example, similarly to renewable energy, where you see the sort of forces at play and the geopolitical forces at play in China marry quite neatly with their relationship with Africa. And clearly, China's been pushing for multiple years to sort of expand the use of renminbi. It really did pause after 2015. So basically, they were making incremental progress up until that point, but it was still at relatively low levels, but it was moving in the right direction. And then this devalue of the currency really did sort of stop that process. And only sort of subsequently after COVID and the Ukraine crisis, where you've seen a sort of another push for China to start using its currency more in terms of its international payments and transactions. And Africa is a sort of low-hanging fruit for that because it's obviously an area where there are bidirectional flows of renminbi into and out of Africa. At the same time, there's political goodwill, and a lot of this is being pushed less by market forces and more by policy interventions. But it's been slow going. I think it's about 27% of China's trade is now being transacted in renminbi. And my guess is it's probably lower in Africa than it is elsewhere because a lot of our exports are simply priced in dollars and our commodities. And it hasn't really got off the ground. And obviously at the FOCAC summit, China's keen to get this back on the agenda. And I expect there to be some kind of announcements over the next 24 hours regarding more usage of the renminbi in transactions and more local currency usage for financing Chinese projects in Africa. But again, in many respects, this isn't being sort of demanded by the market. This is more being pushed by policy. And so as a result, progress has been relatively slow. And the incentives to that end haven't necessarily been that profound, or at least the degree to which you would probably need to trigger the commercial usage of renminbi to expand. So it's really not something that they've made dramatic progress with, but it's clearly something that's very much front of mind for Chinese policymakers. And I would make the case that anywhere where Africa can align to what China's interests are, that's good, because the traditional sort of connection between China and Africa are diminishing over time as China rebalances its economy. And so things like renewable energy and renminbi internationalization are at least aligned to China's interests. But at the same time, I think this relationship needs a sort of a pause where Africa becomes better at preparing itself for these summits and is much more forceful and vocal in tabling exactly what it wants from that relationship, and so that it can benchmark what they believe is China's progress in Africa. And I would make the case that that has a lot to do with African diversification, industrialization, modernization, job creation, skill transfers, and those kinds of areas. And we need to actually be quite open about this is what we care about, this is what we want from China, because I think if you put those on the table, I think China will do everything it can to be a partner that delivers, because geopolitically, Africa's support is so important to the Chinese at this juncture.
Some very interesting reflections on the developments unfolding at the Forum on China-Africa Cooperations taking place in Beijing. I think we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for the time and for the insights, Jeremy. That's Jeremy Stevens, economist at the Standard Bank Group, currently in Beijing at the FOCAC summit that's taking place there.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.